As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
With their sponsorship of episode 216 of the Read to Lead podcast, FreshBooks Cloud Accounting Software is making it easy for you to try them out with absolutely no obligation. Get access to 100% of FreshBooks features for 30 days when you visit freshbooks.com/read to lead and enter Read to Lead in the How Did You Hear About Us section.
You have to start recognizing your curiosity again. If you've told yourself you're not creative, you're not curious, that is not true, because every human being is naturally curious. That's what makes us live and survive and move forward.
Hi, and welcome to the Read to Lead podcast. This is the podcast dedicated to your personal and professional growth. I'm Jeff Brown, and I believe that if you desire to achieve true success in your business and in your life, then one thing you've got to be intentional and consistent about is reading. I just saw a stat from Pew Research last week that suggested that in the last year, only one in four of us read a book. And I'm on a mission to change that. The Read to Lead podcast is not only going to help you narrow your reading list, but bring you key insights and valuable ideas from some of today's most successful and inspiring authors. Now, today's a bit of an exception. I have an author to be on the show. His name is Stephen Worley, and Stephen's got a book coming out in quarter one of 2019. The content of Stephen's upcoming book includes a shared passion, and that's about the future of work and how it's changing. So I'm going to be asking Stephen to share about why more of us feel anxious about work these days. I'll ask him to discuss how work is fundamentally changing. I'll ask that he share his insights on how you can better prepare for the future of work, and a lot more. And one of the topics that Stephen and I are going to be discussing at length is how working for yourself has never been easier. And one of the reasons it's so much easier today than in years past is because of the tools we have at our disposal. They make it so much more simple for us to operate our own businesses. And for me, one of those critical tools is my cloud accounting software. I've personally used FreshBooks Cloud Accounting Software myself since 2009, and I'm delighted that they've chosen to sponsor the Read to Lead podcast. It's very simple to use. I save hours a week over what I used to spend keeping track of what's coming in and what's going out. And when tax time rolls around, I find tidy summaries of my expense reports, my invoice details, sales tax summaries, a lot more. I could not run my business without it. And I think you should check it out too, especially if you find that my conversation with Stephen resonates with you. FreshBooks is giving you the chance to try their software and all its features free for 30 days. And to take advantage of that, you just go to freshbooks.com/read to lead, enter read to lead in the how did you hear about us section, and you're well on your way. You don't even need to provide a credit card or anything like that. There's no obligation. Again, just go to freshbooks.com/read to lead. Well, there's this thing happening. Some of us are acutely aware of it. Others maybe not so much. But that is the nature of work is changing. And that is a topic that has come up on the show a number of times over the years. And it's a topic that's near and dear to me. And you've probably heard the studies. The number of people venturing out on their own and leaving traditional work is going up, along with the reality that more and more jobs going forward will begin to be automated. There's a distinction there I want to make a little bit later. And if this is something that worries you at all, my guest today, Stephen Worley, is especially qualified to address these issues and more. Stephen left his corporate job over 17 years ago and has not looked back. And now at his blog and his podcast, Life Skills That Matter, he helps others make that transition a smooth one. Now, I have one warning for you. Stephen is not an author. No. But he will be soon. In about the first quarter of 2019, he told his mastermind group, So now he's obligated all the more, my having talked about it on the show. He's going to be citing a number of books throughout our discussion that address specific issues. No need to worry about keeping track of all those books. There will be many, as I said. You can find every one of them at readtoleadpodcast.com/216 for episode 216. So I feel like I've queued this up fairly nicely, Stephen. Virtually every guest I've ever had on the show, I think with one exception, is an author. And it's not often I make that exception, but I think it's warranted here because of your experience in this area and the fact that you're indeed working on a book on this topic. So welcome to the show. I'm thrilled to have you here.
Well, thank you so much. It's really an honor and flattering to that you made that exception for me. And I think what I originally reached out to you about this, a lot of times, maybe this happens to you when people say, I want to learn about this. What's one book I could read, Stephen? And rarely I'll suggest a book, but I'll say, if you really want to learn this, here's the 3, 5, maybe even 10 books that you should read or skim through, because no one book is ever the end all and be all, in my opinion, of any subject matter. And that's why, especially with a very complicated and emotionally charged topic for a lot of people around what's going to happen to work, I think we need to read a lot of different books.
And I've heard a lot of people say recently in different venues, blog posts and podcasts, things like stop telling people they need to become entrepreneurs and go work for themselves. In other words, the thinking is there's a lot of people with a message along those lines here as of late. What would you say to folks voicing that objection?
This is where I've come down. And I, after 17 years, and by the way, thank you for saying that I left corporate America. I did not leave on my terms. They kicked me out and they did the biggest favor of my life. Thank you. And I had to find my way and struggle. But I used to be on that track of like, why wouldn't everybody want to live like this? You control your time. You can control how much money you make. You will get to meet awesome people like yourself. You really get to learn about yourself in a way that traditional employment, I think, doesn't necessarily afford you. I believe the future of work is going to be self-management. I call it the decision shift. And we're all feeling this. If you think about where you were 5 years ago, 2 years ago, you are having to make more decisions than ever before over your work. And you're having to do that in the context of a greater range of choices. So that is kind of a fundamental feature of somebody who is self-employed, as you know, Jeff, that you control every minute of your day. So that means you control every decision that you make in your business. And I say, if you're going to have to manage more and more of your own decisions, you might think about working for yourself. Or as I say, I think right now we're thinking of in terms of where we are right now in 2018 and the definition of what an entrepreneur is and what it means to be traditionally employed or a freelancer. And what I see over the next decade is a greater spectrum of entrepreneurial opportunities where you're going to be managing yourself or working with others. Maybe you're not going to be the one raising money and you know, having it grow super fast in 3 years and then selling it like a Silicon Valley entrepreneur. But then you might be somebody like me or you who we're working from our homes, we're making a good living, we're serving a community that we're really into and around a topic that we're very passionate about. So here's my final thought on that. I think if this is where work is going, at the very least, I was a person who never thought he would work for himself. And like I said, I got laid off and I didn't have a lot of work options. So that's why I dabbled in freelance work. And that's how I started becoming familiar with it. And I think that's the problem too, Jeff, that most of us were taught that we aren't able to work for ourselves. We have an entire educational system that says you got to follow the authority figures, follow the directions, here's your schedule. We're going to tell you what to do and we're going to take care of you. Except that has been breaking down over the last 20 to 30 years. And we now have to not only manage ourselves, but help each other, like get back to what it means to be a human and help out your fellow women and men. And I think the best way to prepare yourself for the future of work in the face of change and resiliency is to maybe think about working for yourself for 6 months or a year. And I will tell you, you will never look at yourself, your money, your time, your energy in the same way again.
You sent me a link to a blog post you wrote called 4 Primary Trends Fundamentally Changing Work. And you make a distinction that I hinted at a moment ago that I want to dive into here. We all hear about how automation is going to impact work. And sort of the through line is automation is going to eliminate jobs. But you have a slightly different take on that. Can you explain that?
Sure. It is, I think, again, the way that we've been talking about the future of work at least in the United States, has been fairly unproductive and unhealthy. I think when we talk about automation, we feel very threatened by it. The average American feels very threatened by it. We immediately think robots are going to take our jobs. And from all the research that I've really dove into, there's a wide spectrum. Yes, it is true. There's going to be a certain percentage, really in the single digits, of jobs that will be completely eliminated. But the vast majority, for what I see, like, say like around 50%, maybe 60% of jobs over the next 10 years will be adjusted or changed or evolved because of automation. And what that means is there's going to be fewer and fewer jobs where you can just show up and say, this is what we need you to do. Keep doing it over and over again. Those jobs are going to get automated out. Also, we need people, the types of jobs that are going to be highly valuable in the marketplace are ones where you need to think, because things are changing so fast now, Jeff, that the role of managers are changing, because there isn't the all-knowing manager anymore, because things are changing just too quickly that sometimes people on the front line closer to the customer actually know more about the reality of what's going on in the marketplace than the person at the top, because they're living it every single day. And that is, again, changing this nature of work and the relationship that we have with organizations and with each other. So it's also, so again, it's about, you know, people are going to be hired because can you get started right away? What ideas do you have? How creative are you? How curious are you? These are the things that are going to be rewarded going forward and help you survive automation.
When I graduated college, I remember having this mindset of, you know, thank goodness that's over, or you know, boy, I don't have to learn anymore. That's how awesome is this? And it was 10 years before my mindset changed, and I realized the importance of, you know, being a lifelong learner. I think in the last 5 years being self-employed, I have probably learned more skills than the previous 20 when I was gainfully employed. And I think some of that plays into why self-employed people generally seem to be earning more and more. Would you say that's a part of it?
Absolutely. It's shocking. It's almost like sometimes I feel like I'm blabbing to everybody about this secret and nobody wants to listen to me. You know what I mean? It's been a very lonely journey here. But it's true, because that's the positive side of automation, especially for a self-employed person, because there's many different things that I'm sure that you're using and I'm using that has enabled us to run our businesses. Because I think a lot of times people are afraid of working for themselves because they think, oh my gosh, it's so much work and I have to do everything myself. That's kind of the old way of thinking. Don't get me wrong, there's a learning curve. You know, you're going to be working your butt off. It's definitely the first couple of years. But as you set up your systems, your processes, and you're using technology automation, you're going to be able to do way more as an individual. In fact, there's a book out now by Elaine Pultfeld called The $1 million one-person business, or I might have that reversed. It might be the one-person, $1 million business, because she saw from census data an uptick of about 5 to 6% over the last couple of years in terms of solopreneur people making over $100,000 and people making over $1 million. And I saw that in my last business as well, that I was able to generate a lot more money than I ever thought or wanted to make because of automation, because also of outsourcing opportunities and building a virtual team. So I think that's also something to be thinking about. If you want to have more control over your income and having more upside, I think self-employment is going to be an option that you might want to be considering.
And I know for personal experience, and this isn't necessarily going to be the case for everybody, but I've seen my income, except for 1 year, a couple of years ago, increase every year that I've been self-employed. In fact, last year, 2017, my best year yet, and the revenue coming in last year was more than double the salary, the highest salary I ever made as an employed person. And if you'd have told me that 6 or 7 years ago before I became a self-employed person, I would have thought you were crazy.
I love that you said this because I see this time and again. I've interviewed over 500 people who have gone from employment to self-employment. And this is not scientific data, just only from my interviews. But it takes, on average, about 2 years for somebody to leave their employment position to working for themselves. And they're going to be making, after that 2 year period, they're making the same amount of money as when they left their job. By year three, many of them are making almost double. And it goes up from there. And that's the other amazing thing, that you have an opportunity right now to do the exact same work on your own, make more money on your time with who you want and the way that you want. And when you say it like that, you're like, well, who wouldn't want to work like that? But we, again, have been indoctrinated by the illusion of security by traditional employment, which a lot of that is being eroded away. I've been responsible for my own healthcare for 17 years. And I think the other way to look about this, too, is people think about traditional employment as stability. But every time you change a job or somebody decides that you're out of here and you lose your job, your income all at once in one day, you then have to go hopefully get another job and you have to learn somebody else's system. When you work for yourself, you build your own system. And that way you can really start being more adaptable in the way that you and I are constantly learning now, because we are incentivized to learn to improve our businesses. And also because it's fun. We want to learn about all the different things that are going on. And that makes us more valuable. And I've also seen research where about 55% of self-employed people are learning new skills on a regular basis versus 30% of employees. So again, if you want to be more resilient going forward, self-employment is kind of, you know, winning that that argument.
And I've seen the value too in the last couple of years in adding some monthly recurring revenue streams on top of the other revenue streams coming to my business. I think there are 10 last I counted. And the beauty of that is, if one of them is low 1 month or one of them disappears one day, I've still got the other nine that are working for me. And, you know, with a job, it's the one salary. And when that job is gone, that's it.
I mean, when I got laid off, I lost all my money overnight. My one client, all of them gone, right? I never want to be put in that position again. And I started the online portion of my last business. It was a sales training business for broadcasters in 2008, beginning of the Great Recession. And everybody would come to me like, oh my God, are you okay, Stephen? Because everybody thinks, like, if you're working by yourself, you have it the worst. You're getting beat up out there, right? And I'm like, never better. I had about 50 clients by then, you know, both online and offline. And I would say to them, listen, you have one client. You can lose all your money all at once when they lay you off. Now, could I lose all 50 of my clients in one day? It's possible, but not probable in the way that you just described. And I think that's another thing that a lot of self-employed people love. We finally come to realize that the new job security is having multiple revenue streams. We'd never want to just be obliged to just one anymore. That just, it's frightening to me. Now, I now see the other side of it.
Yeah, and there's been an ebb and flow, I think, in your journey, as there has been mine. My main source of income now, my largest percentage of income, comes from coaching and mentoring. And that was something I wasn't even doing for like the first 6 months or a year that I was on my own. So it's been a path of you know, twists and turns. Over 17 years, how has your path changed?
You're making me feel old.
Well, you're younger than I am. I know that.
But sometimes I know everybody's talking about it. It seems to be fashionable. This entrepreneurship. I think it's a good thing because it is going to help people be more valuable and more resilient going forward. Except we have to just broaden the definition of entrepreneurship, as I alluded to earlier. When I started out, nobody was really thinking like this. You know, I was doing 4-hour work week stuff before it was written about. I was doing inbound marketing before it was a term. I just had no idea. I was doing it out of pure survival. And I think that is my, I have two really important lessons from 17 years. I would say you have to start recognizing your curiosity again. If you've told yourself you're not creative, you're not curious, that is not true. Every human being is naturally curious. That's what makes us live and survive and move forward. We've always been that. That's why we've been the most successful species on this planet, because we're curious. Every time you have a question pop into your head, why did that person cut me off? That's curiosity in action. And you want to know what's going on. Other thing is, you got to start becoming more self-aware. As I always tell people, the most important subject that you've never been taught is how to learn about yourself, which is so crazy, right? There's no manual that you're ever given, because while, yes, we have collective knowledge generally about what it means to be a human and how to survive, nobody's ever been you before. And I think that is what we have to really recognize. One of the four trends I cite in that blog post that you mentioned earlier is that our mass market's descending into infinite niches. So there's never been a more important time, not only a better opportunity to be yourself and get paid for who you are, the way you look at the world. It's actually starting to become an imperative. It's going to become key to your survival. The old economy, the economy that we're exiting from, required us to fit in, to be part of the system. And I think Taylor Pearson did a wonderful job in the End of Jobs book, all about, like, where did this work come from that we're currently experiencing? And why am I getting so stressed out? And I think he did a really good job deconstructing how the 20th century economy came to be and why it's declining and what we need to do. He also came to the same conclusion that entrepreneurship was going to be a more viable path for career resilience.
And Taylor Pearson, by the way, has been featured on the Read to Lead podcast. We'll have a link to that interview in the show notes. Stephen, what are some other books that you would recommend for anyone who is wanting to consider this path for themselves and isn't quite sure where to start?
There's so many. And what I've learned, first, we have to help people understand what the heck is going on, because something definitely is going on. We all feel it, whether you want to recognize that or not. So there's three books that I like to kind of give people just a broad brushstroke of like, what's happening? And what can I start doing? Because there's tons of books I can recommend. So one was, as I just recommended, The End of Jobs. Taylor does an amazing job of just kind of setting up like, where do we come from? Because we all think like, this is the way work has always been. And Taylor in that book said, nope, it hasn't been like this. It's really only been like maybe the last 100 years, right? Mm-hmm. The way we describe work. And it's going to change going forward. So the work that you've always known hasn't always been this way and will not always be this way. I always like to remind people that we are playing a game by the old rules that we don't even know that we're playing. And so that's the first book that I would read. The second book is Thank You for Being Late by Thomas Friedman. If you have ever read anything by Thomas Friedman, yes, it's a lot to read and there's a lot of stories. But I think if you really want to get to the richness and the fabric of what is going on and how this economy is evolving and changing, I think it's a fantastic book. And really the takeaway from that book is you have to adapt. And things are accelerating at such a pace now that a counterintuitive action you need to take is to stop. And that's something that we don't do enough of, Jeff. We don't stop, reflect, and be like, hey, I've been running around like a madman, madwoman. Am I still running in the right direction? Right? Do you have a reflection practice or do you stop?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I have to. I couldn't function without that.
Dig into that a little bit, because I think it's, again, most people are like, I don't have time to like think about where I'm going. I don't even have 30 minutes to do that. I'm just trying to get through my life here.
Well, to me, it's taking time out of the morning, scheduling time at the very beginning of the day to ask myself, you know, some of the important questions, you know, and keeping a journal and asking myself, you know, gratitude type questions. What am I grateful for? Who am I grateful for? You know, what's happened in the last week that was really tremendous, and what did I set out to accomplish that I completed and I finished, you know, those daily and weekly and monthly and quarterly review type scenarios. And I find that if I skip those, if I don't do that, I can just kind of meander throughout the day, the week, the month, whatever. But if I'm constantly taking time to pause, to stop and evaluate where I've come from, where I'm at and where I desire to head, then more often than not, my life is such that I enjoy it more. I'm more fulfilled. I'm more satisfied, and I'm actually feeling like I'm making more of an impact and a difference.
I love it because you lose your center of gravity, and that's the thing. We all feel a little bit stressed out or cranky because we're out of alignment with who we are, and the pressures of where we're trying to squeeze out what remains of the 20th century economic system is stressing us out even more, and it's asking us to not be ourselves. And we have a human need to want to survive and make money, but we also have a need to express ourselves and our inner selves and to honor that tendency. We all have a tendency of who we are. I just can't help myself but educate myself and share with everything that I've learned about how to prepare people for the future of work. That's my thing. And it's really important to understand what your thing is. So the final book I would recommend is Seth Godin's Lynchpin. Just that book is just jam-packed with so many awesome sound bites, quotes, just to like, whoa, did he just write that? You know, we have to do real work. And that means what he calls creating art, self-expression, you know, your inner self, the way that I was just describing, you know, solve problems that matter. You know, a job is, as I was describing, it's no longer about like following instructions. You have to like find a problem that you want to solve. You have to do your thing. You have to like address a feeling. And one of his most fun recommendations is it's like, just think like a kid again. Like when you were a kid, what did you do to pass the time that nobody asked you to do? Because I will tell you one thing, Jeff, as a kid, I loved doing arts and crafts projects and I loved having conversations and meeting people. And guess what? I'm still doing it. I love putting together trainings. I'm such a dork. I love it. But it's a project. That's what it is.
Yeah, I recently discovered a new podcast that Seth has created. It actually launched in mid-February called Akimbo, A-K-I-M-B-O. You can find out more about it. We'll put a link in the show notes, but akimbo.link is the homepage. But I binged on that show on a road trip earlier this week, and I was so engrossed in the content that I at one point missed my Waze app telling me to exit the highway because of an accident ahead, and I sat without going anywhere in traffic for 3 hours because of Seth Godin.
Well, if that's not a huge endorsement, I don't know what is.
I love the podcast. And he, fortunately for us, has been on the show before, too. Not to talk about that book, but another book. And I'll put a link to that in the show notes.
I know Linchpin is one that is not often talked about, but I would venture to say I think it's one of his most important books that people need to read.
Yeah, it's certainly one of my favorites. Well, speak to organizational hierarchies. We haven't talked a great deal about this. Some of the changes you're noticing in that area.
Yeah, I think one of those trends, again, what we've all been used to is this idea of like there's a hierarchy, there's a chain of command, there's somebody in charge, and I wait for the orders to come on down to me, and then I might even pass them off if there's people below me. Well, that's changing. I am sure a lot of you listening have had some experience by now of working remotely or working from home. And if you haven't, you might want to think about how to make that happen for yourself, because that's really that first step of learning how to manage yourself. And then you still have your job, you still have your work, but learning how to manage yourself, because that is something that hasn't necessarily been taught to us. And that's something that you need to start learning and being aware of. We're also, you know, many of us are starting to work through collaborative software. You know, maybe it's been Basecamp or Asana or Trello or something proprietary that you have within your own company or something Microsoft has built. And that idea that, you know, there's not somebody necessarily one person telling us what needs to get done. It's happening through a team. We all are empowered to share our expertise. It's really awesome. And there's been a lot of studies. If you've ever read, or I'm not sure if you had Jason Fried on the show, but Rework, love that book too, because it's really all about learning how to work within those teams. He says like kind of the two reasons why people don't get work done, it's meetings and managers. They're kind of these obstacles that get in the way. And I've always been that kind of a person too. Anytime I've had meetings, I always set like a time limit. And you know, like I let people know, I'm like, we're halfway through. What's going on here? What do we need to get accomplished? And back to the studies, there's a lot of studies that show that people are actually much more motivated within a team than answering to a boss, because they don't want to let their colleagues and their peers down. Isn't that interesting?
Very, very. There are about, including the ones he's already mentioned, about 11 different books that Stephen related to me that speak to one area of this topic or another. I'm going to hook you up with links to all 11 of those books, again, in the show notes. Stephen, anything else you want to share with us about your thoughts on this change, this world of work, and anything else you're working on before we let you go?
Absolutely. If anybody has any questions, by the way, please, you know, throw my contact information there, because there's a lot of books. And if there's a particular area that you feel challenged by or you're curious about, let me know. I'm probably have a book I can recommend for you. I am, as I said, I alluded to, I am working on my own book, because I still think there's a gap in the future of work of really about the individual and how to prepare for this and not just saying that it has to be all about entrepreneurship. And I call it the three forms of work that we all avoid, that we can no longer avoid. And it's working on yourself, and it's working on your relationships, and working on creating. And they actually all work together in a virtuous circle. And those also happen to be forms of work that are not encouraged by traditional employment, ironic. Mm. And that's where we need to move toward and get less hung up about what my title is in terms of am I self-employed, employed, or freelancer, all that sort of thing, but start realizing that you're going to have to own more and more of your decisions. And I just want to find a way to help people do that in a more comfortable, less anxious way.
Something you just said reminded me of another question I wanted to ask, if I may.
Sure.
There's a quote in that recent blog post that you linked to that says, your relationships and your portfolio of work are more important than credentials from universities and corporations, period. Now, I could not agree with that more, but I'd love for you to expound on that a little bit and why you feel so adamantly about it.
Having you read what I wrote in your Jeff Brown voice just gave me the chills.
Hey, if you need somebody to read your book for Audible when it comes out.
Oh, my God. I would be like, I would listen to that over and over again. yeah, I mean, I think it's, even goes to the heart of, I refuse to look at anybody's resume ever again. I'm done. I'm over. And because things are changing so fast that there's something called the half-life of skills, if you're not familiar with this. What that means is when a skill has been innovated or it's brought out to the world and it gains value and people are like, great, I got to learn this. But then there's a peak and then it starts declining. Well, that's about 5 years now. So to put that in context, if you were a driver, so say for 3,800 years, you could have been a driver of horse and carriages. If taxi cab driver was at 120 years, Uber driver is now down to about 7 until self-driving cars come along. So again, to Jeff's point earlier, this is why you have to keep learning. And a resume doesn't really show how you work with others. It doesn't show where you're headed, and it doesn't show your work. You have to show your work. That's what matters. That's what I want to see from people. And often, so there's three paths. If you don't do the resume route, it's about showing three different forms of work, and you'd be surprised, whatever it is that you do, there's always a way to show your work. And number two, I would do like testing of somebody that you want to work with, if they want to work with you. So it's like a little mini, like a month or 3 months, just to see if you like working with each other. I remember my first boss, Jeff, said, I hire people based on whether I can see myself working with them or not. Of course, I want to make sure that they have the skills to back it up, but I got to get along with them. And then finally, thinking about jobs as apprenticeships now, really like really evaluating, even if you don't have a formal evaluation system inside your company, which many times they're not very helpful anyway, maybe every 6 months, think about like, what's, if I learned everything I can learn from this current position, and where do I want to go next? And it's really moving beyond the resume in terms of, I think everybody should have a personal website now. You know, you should be sharing what it is that you're doing, how it is that you're doing, your unique take on it. A lot of times people will always tell me like, well, I feel like everybody else is doing this. And I always remind people, but they're not doing it in your voice. They're not doing it in your way. And we are moving into an economy now that is going to reward all this spectrum of all this different variety of doing things. Like you and I are coaching and mentoring people and trying to inspire them to like be their best selves, leaders, and to work for themselves. But there's infinite ways to do that.
Well, his website and podcast again are lifeskillsthatmatter.com. That's where you'll find the website, the podcast, also Life Skills That Matter. He's up to episode 209, I believe. And yeah. I was privileged to be a guest back in episode 128. And again, those will be linked up in the show notes as well. Is that going to be the title of your forthcoming book, Life Skills That Matter, or will it be something else? Or do you know?
Something else. Okay. It's taken me a long time. I'd like to hear what you think of this, Jeff, or any of the listeners, but I don't have a subtitle yet, but The Only Work Left.
Oh, I like that. I do. I like that a lot.
Because it's just on two channels of like, we have to, this is how I felt when I got laid off. I said, I can't accept going back to the way I was taught to work. That doesn't work for me. So what's left? What I discovered is like, oh, I got to work on myself. I got to work on building my tribe, and I got to work on creating work to show people what is going on inside my head. So that's, and I want to break it down to a whole bunch of very pragmatic exercises of how to do this.
I so identify with that. I know when I left my last job, the idea of going back to that industry was not even on the table. I just knew when that happened that this was the path I was going to go down. I didn't know how I was going to make it work. I just knew that I had to do that. The being pushed from the nest was sort of the sign, if you will, that this was permission for me to give that a shot. And like you, I wouldn't have it any other way. Stephen, thank you so much for taking time out to talk to us today. I'm so excited to know that you're working on this book. I will tell you and everyone else that I'm working on launching a virtual summit, which will probably be early next year, first quarter of 2019 as well. And I think you, Stephen, would make a fantastic guest for the summit. So maybe we can plan that, no pressure, around the launch of your book.
Well, I was going to say, I'm going to promote that. So this is also the exciting thing, folks. I just want to let you know, is it's like in the world that if I was back in a company, I might not have ever met Jeff. And because of what I do, I get to meet these awesome people all the time that like, I feel so energized leaving this conversation right now.
Well, the feeling is definitely mutual. Check him out, Stephen Worley, lifeskillsthatmatter.com. Stephen, thank you again for being here.
Thank you so much, Jeff. Really appreciate it.
In case I need to say it one more time, you can find the links and resources to everything Stephen and I discussed at the show notes page that I've created especially for this episode. That can be found at readtoleadpodcast.com/216 for episode 216. That's also a great link to use if you want to share this episode with someone you think it might help. And speaking of help, you help me tremendously when you share the show and help other people find it. I appreciate that very much. Thank you again to FreshBooks Cloud Accounting Software for sponsoring this episode. You can check out their free 30-day trial available to you as a listener of Read to Lead. Go to freshbooks.com/readtolead and enter Read to Lead in the How Did You Hear About Us section. Well, that does it for this week. I look forward to seeing you next time. Until then, remember, leaders read and readers lead.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.